This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دروس من المسجد النبوي الشريف.
In English.
In English.
In English.
Alhamdulillah. The first two things that the Shaykh mentioned, and the main objective of fasting, as the Shaykh mentioned, number one is to attain taqwa. Number two, the Shaykh mentioned that it is a means for one to refine his character. And so that the day that a person fasts is not like the day that he doesn't fast. And if a person continues upon that throughout Ramadan, watching what he says, making his eyes fast, his ears fast, his limbs fast, that Ramadan will not leave except that he is a different person. He's different than he was. He is better. He has improved. His character has improved throughout the course of Ramadan. The third point that the Shaykh mentions here is that it is a means for ones who have, in general, you have the ability, you eat three meals a day whenever you like. It is a means for these people to remember their less fortunate brothers. And this creates generosity. And this is one of the themes of Ramadan, is that you become a more generous person, both with your wealth and with your time, with your status, with everything. That you become more generous. You become a person who is known for lending a helping hand, for example. Because the Prophet ﷺ, as Ibn Abbas said, kana ajwad an-nas. The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of the people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. And he was the most generous that he would ever be in the month of Ramadan when he would meet with Jibreel and read him the Qur'an. And as the scholars have mentioned, there are a lot of benefits from this hadith in and of itself. One of them, and this is important for us as we look at our approach to the Qur'an in Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ, كَانَ يُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, as if he was studying the Qur'an with Jibreel ﷺ. And the scholars take from this that it is better for a person actually to read the Qur'an to someone else. And especially in Ramadan. And a lot of times what happens is, we forget this point, so we read the Qur'an by ourselves. And then without that extra push, sometimes we get negligent or lax. But the reality is that if you have someone who you're going to meet every day, you're going to read a juz of Qur'an or two juz with them, and you stop at certain ayat and ponder over the meanings, and perhaps go back to some tafsirs of the Qur'an, that this is more likely that you'll continue along the path because you have someone else pushing you. This is why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to have good friends, to be in good company. And explained that the difference between good company and bad company is like hamil al-misk wa nafiq al-khir. It's like the difference between a seller of musk and the blacksmith. So the one who sells musk, he's either going to sell you some, so you smell good, or he's going to give you some, you smell good, or at least you get a pleasant smell from him. The point is that look for good company in Ramadan. Look for somebody that you can read the Quran with. Here, Ibn Abbas says that the Prophet ﷺ would be the most generous in Ramadan. And the scholars say, that is because of the attachment that he had to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that when one reads the Quran, they become more in tune to their ultimate reality, the inevitable. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. As a person reads the Quran and they read about Jannah and they read about Nar, they read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes. They read about the stories of the Anbiya, the prophets and the messengers of the past. They become more attached to where they're going and less attached to where they are, because it's the inevitable journey. And they recognize that this is the path of the salihin and the righteous, and this is the path of the corrupt. And so once you realize that this is وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, that the hereafter is the real life. When a person reads the Quran more and more, then this becomes a reality to him. It's not just lip service, and it's not just something that's on the back of his mind, but now it becomes part of his thought process. And so he thinks about the hereafter. If a person is thinking about the hereafter, that $5 he has, that $20, $100, and he recognizes that it is going to be rewarded 700 times over, then he recognizes that I don't need this in reality. This is extra. If I don't have it, my family is not going to starve, alhamdulillah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in charge of. And there's no doubt that the best sadaqah that you can spend is on your family. Don't go giving to other people and leave your family in need. Give them, but give them with the intention that it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are fulfilling a wajib, a responsibility, and know that the most beloved of the deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that He made obligatory upon us. And every man has to take care of his family. So spend on your families. Be generous with your families in the month of Ramadan. But also, if you have extra, you have surplus, and you find that there are people in need, there are masjids in need, there are institutes in need, Islamic schools in need, then give, and give generously. Give like a person who doesn't fear poverty. This is why the scholars say that there is no way that a person can be both generous and a coward. Because the only way you're going to be generous is when you don't fear poverty. And poverty, most people fear poverty more than they do an enemy with a weapon. And because they fear poverty, they become the slave to money. They enslave themselves to money to ward off the opposite of wealth, which is poverty. Not that they fear their enemy. So if a person is generous, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, he will also be a courageous person. And these are from the attributes of the real believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان.